Hello, and welcome to another Tammy Ginders.
And I bet the only thing on your mind is, I wonder what they're going to be talking about today.
Which, funnily enough, is exactly what we think as well. It's the show where we ponder about all things sad, happy, weird, wonderful, and everything in between. Right, spring is in the air. Where are we going today?
Well, spring is in the air, actually, and it's a much nicer day as we are speaking now than it was when we went on our little trip out and about recently. Have a listen to this.
Right, here we go. Another one out in the rain. I blame Beth. It was lovely when we sat out earlier on, and now, of course, it started raining. Pretty central in Douglas for this one, in St George's Graveyard.
We are in St George's Graveyard. It's a magical place in here, I always think. It's this little oasis in the heart of Douglas that you, at this time of day, see quite a few people using it as a cut-through, going on their lunch breaks, no doubt. But yeah, it is raining. It's April. What do you expect? Why are we here?
Ah, well, this is something that came out of a little conversation that I had a while back. And as you say, it is a wonderful place. It's got a lot of interesting graves here a lot of people don't know about. I've got a walking stick made out of wood made from, cut down from a tree in here, would you believe?
Have you?
Given me to the Archdeacon many years ago.
Are we here to see the grave of Sir William Hillary?
Well, Sir William Hillary's grave isn't far away. Not specifically to see that, but it was something, funnily enough, her name came up only the other day on the Manon line of a woman called Nellie Brennan. And when we were having a little chat with John Manley a while back, who's a wonderful historian of this parish, and he was saying, have you ever thought about going into St George's and talking about Nellie Brennan and seeing the collar appear there? And, well, I said, no, we haven't, but it'd be a great thing for Tammy Ginders, because you often wonder what's going on in some of these graveyards, who's there. So John very kindly agreed to come down and meet us, even though it's raining, and he's here today. Sorry about the rain, John, but here we are. And some people know the name Nellie Brennan. For others, they don't know it at all, or indeed exactly what she was famous for.
Yes, Nellie Brennan is probably one of the most famous Manx women of all time. But her story was almost lost to history. Had her story not been recorded by a local school teacher, Bell Ann Stowell, who was operating out of neighbouring Affle Street at the time, she recorded the story of Nellie Brennan in the year that Nellie Brennan died, and she published a book called Labours of Love, a Manx story, and that was the story of Nellie Brennan's life story, and that story has kept Nellie Brennan's memory intact. Fortunately, this book exists, and it was reproduced in 1988 with a commentary by OBE, Dr. Guy Panton. And that resurrected the story of Nellie, because Nellie was forgotten to Manx history for nigh on 200 years.
What can we see in relation to the story where we are here now then?
Right, well, let's start at, unfortunately, the end for Nellie. Nellie is buried just up this pathway here, along with her mother. Her mother's grave is titled Mary Percival, but that was a clerical error by the St. George's staff. Nellie's mother was called Mary Brennan. There were several derivations of the name, but her original name was Brennan. And just on the left here is the grave of Nellie Brennan and her mother, Mary Percival. It's that one there that's got a little plaque on the back there.
Okay, let's go down and take a look. A bit of rain going on even here, but we're brave souls, so's John. Just watch your step if you do come in the rain. And here it is.
Yes, this is the headstone for Mary Percival, Nellie Brennan's mother. And she died in 1808, age 55, as you can see from the headstone. Nellie had to borrow money from friends in order to erect this headstone. And she made strenuous efforts to repay the money, which she did very quickly in future years. The grave is now cared for by the Isle of Man branch of the Royal College of Nursing, and there's an interesting plaque on the back which has been erected in recent years. Shall we have a look?
Absolutely, let's take a little peek round.
You and have to read, unfortunately, what's on the
I have it.
Aha, a transcription.
I have a photograph of it.
John's just seen if he's got the photograph of the transcription there. Oh, here
I
we go.
I've got a transcription of it, but I've got the photograph here.
So Eleanor Nellie Brennan was the heroine of the cholera epidemic of, is it 1832 to
1832, 33? 1832, 33.
Matron to the first Manx Hospital. She was a founder member of Douglas...
Dorcas Society, I think that says.
Yeah.
The Isle of Man Dorcas Society is the oldest charity on the Isle of Man. Nellie was a founder member in 1834, because 1834 was the first year after the cholera years when the town was unaffected by the cholera. The society was formed to provide clothing to the poor of Douglas, because during the cholera years, 1832-33, most of the poor people had to have their clothing and bedding destroyed because it was infected. So they were basically in rags. Douglas was nothing like the town it is today. It had a small population of some 4,000, and the vast majority of the Douglas people were very, very poor indeed. Sanitation was almost non-existent. There was no poor house. There was no poor rate on the island. There was no proper sewerage system. There was no piped water, clean water. Water was delivered around the streets of Douglas on the back of carts, if you can believe it. So that is the Douglas that we're talking about. Nothing like Douglas today.
No, you've got to count your blessings, I think is the word, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, so blessed in so many ways. And, you know, it seems it's thanks to the work of Nellie Brennan. She paved the way for some of the fantastic things that we get to enjoy and experience now.
She paved the way of Florence Nightingale, because Florence Nightingale only came on the scene in England 22 years after Nellie Brennan emerged into the cholera epidemic of 1832. Nellie has quite rightly attracted the epithet the Manx Florence Nightingale, and I think that's a fitting epitaph, because Nellie was unqualified as a nurse. There was no professional nursing in those days. She simply volunteered her services as a carer of the poor and the sick during the epidemic. She was untrained, but she did it selflessly. She was a philanthropist, often donating clothes, as I said before, and her own private finances, as small as they were, to the poor and sick of Douglas.
Do we know if she ever caught cholera?
That's a remarkable story, Beth. She never did catch cholera, and we're not exactly certain why, because cholera was so contagious, and she was going into the houses of the sick and dying. She would often wheel out the dead on her own and put them onto carts for transportation to St. George's Churchyard. She was right up close to them, and it's amazing that she didn't become infected. Now, historians are very unsure as to why she didn't become infected. There are two reasons generally put forward. A, that she was meticulously a clean person in her own private life, and B, she regularly doused her own hands with acidic vinegar. And we're not quite sure whether that might have been her saving grace.
Ahead of her time with actually taking antiseptic qualities like that. I'm sure there will be those who might opt for the opinion of its divine intervention that she was doing so much good that she had protection. Who knows?
Although she never married herself, she could well have considered herself married to God. She was that devout.
So much in here. We could spend a whole time again to series.
I know. Although the next time we come, we'll get better weather. I shouldn't complain. Honestly, no. Shouldn't complain about the rain. We've been talking about cholera for him's sake.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
What a woman. And I just wanted to mention something else that's in St. George's Churchyard. And honestly, if you haven't been for a little wander around there, we can highly recommend that you do, because the history is all around. And I am just in awe of what they have done in there in terms of having the information boards. You really get a sense of who these people were and, you know, these stories that have been kept and are available for us to read. And one of the boards that is in the churchyard is about Eleanor Nellie Brennan. And there's a photograph of her on it, which just brings it to life, doesn't it? Really does bring to life that this was a real person living as we do here on the Isle of Man and doing amazing things. And it says she was born in 1792. She died in 1859. You do the maths on that quickly because I can't. She was 67, maybe,
that
when she died.
Right. Yep.
And it's got in quotes, the best mangle woman in town. And as John was just saying there, she was very religious. She underwent a religious conversion at one of the 6 a.m. services services for working people that were held at St George's from 1809. She earned a living by taking in washing, but came to devote her life to caring for the Manx poor and the sick of Douglas, eventually being appointed as matron of the new hospital and dispensary in Strand Street in 1839, in spite of not being able to read or write. How incredible is that? So this dispensary in Strand Street, I'm not quite sure whereabouts that was. That might be a nice place to go and find
that
sometime.
Would be interesting around there, because all that part of town, as John was saying, was very different to the way it is now, as you can imagine. And also, I think, as John mentioned there, and perhaps a lot of people don't realise, you know, the amount of poverty that was around that neck of the woods. It was pretty slum-like conditions, as far as I can gather. It's nothing like, I know we still, I'm not suggesting we don't still have poverty either on the Isle of Man or around the world, but I don't really think it was at the same level as we were talking about there, and people literally living hand to mouth and possibly even below that in many ways. And Nelly was in the middle of all that. And yeah, I think it's, you begin to form a little bit of a picture of what it's like, and it was pretty grim, it has to be said. And I suppose it's often the case like that. If you are living a much more basic and very much an almost day-to-day hand-to-mouth existence, I think things like religion, and indeed, as we've spoken many times in this programme before, things like folklore and all these beliefs become much more part of your life and are far more believable, can become far more real, I think, in your life than they might do now in our pretty, for most people anyway, pretty cushy modern day lives.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what the essence of this is that Nelly Brennan had a purpose, and her purpose was to go and visit those people in the homes where few others would actually dare to go. And that is just quite a thought, really, when you think about what she was dealing with. The fact she didn't get cholera is almost a miracle. Could it be divine intervention? I don't know. I quite like that idea, Howard. But that's not all there is, as John was saying, in St George's Churchyard. And we took a little wander around a bit further to have a look at what else was there.
And right in the middle of this grass patch here, where that cross is, that is the cholera pit.
Oh my goodness.
And if we go around to the front of the cross, it contains one single word, cholera.
Oh my God.
Go around to the side here, and there it is, the cholera pit. The epidemic of 1832-33, we've been hailing that destructive calamity. And then it says, when looking at this large open space, how many people realise what this piece of land really is? I suspect very few, unless they actually stop to read some of these. Look more closely, you'll see this grassy plot is marked by a small plain cross bearing the words cholera and the dates. There are no names marked anywhere, but this space is in fact the resting place of many of the victims of the outbreaks of this dreadful disease, which killed over 200 people. Some were buried in other parts of the island, most were living in Douglas. It's thought that there were approximately 120 victims in total buried here at St George's. 10 burials were recorded in St George's burial register on the 30th of August 1833 alone.
This disease, it says, was almost certainly the result of the poor quality of the water supply and was highly contagious. The Isle of Man Weekly Times reports the cholera baffled all medical skill. Many in good health in the morning were interred in the same evening. The beds and clothes of those who died were burned. The dead were wrapped in tarred sheets, no coffins, and buried immediately. At night in St George's Churchyard, the burials took place by dim lanterns, handheld or suspended from the trees, the bodies heaped in one after the other.
Oh my Lord.
Oh.
Yeah, a bit shocking actually, John, wouldn't it, when you think about it, and you think, you know, the number of people there, and yeah.
Yeah, the figures recorded of the dead during the two cholera years are very sketchy, Howard, I'm afraid. They're simply estimates. For example, the estimate here in St George's is pretty nigh accurate, about 200 dead. Just outside Douglas at Kirkbraddon, there were another 83 dead. And in Castletown, there were at least 99 dead. So all around the island, cholera claimed its victims. But as I say, the figures are very uncertain. But you can imagine the scene here, as described on the plaque there before us. The burials of the cholera victims were done in the dark of the night with lanterns hanging from the trees nearby. It must have been quite a surreal sight, and obviously it was done to try and clear things for the next day, hoping things that might be better. Well, they were better after 1832 and 1833, but there were further outbreaks of cholera in the Isle of Man in the mid-19th century, although not on quite the same scale.
Goodness me. Well, thank heavens, and thank heavens for modern medication that we won't see another one. But if you're ever walking past here, I'm just going to have a quick look at the cross myself, because you just sort of walk straight past it over this pit of grass to the right-hand side. And yeah, just the cross marked in the middle there. And as John says, simple cross on a simple base, cholera, 1832-33. That's it. And you think you're probably standing on the tops of the lives of 200 people. Not much of a memorial, is it? Right, well, there you are. If you ever want to find out more, there's some wonderful signage here, and there's a whole host of stories, and you can find and read some of them. If you haven't got a handy John around, you can come and see the pit for yourself, get a bit of the story here about and read about Nellie Brennan.
The story was lost to Manx history for nigh on 200 years, but fortunately in recent years we now have Nellie's name entered onto the Manx Roll of Honour for Patriots. And only in 2021 did we have a formal memorial open to Nellie in the midst of today's Nobles Hospital. The sculpture there now is entitled Cleanliness is Next to Godliness, and a local sculptor, Naeem Kelly, did the necessary work on that memorial. And anyone who's on the ground floor of Nobles Hospital today in Douglas can search out Ward 4. The memorial is close to Ward 4, and you can't miss it. There's a whole courtyard being dedicated to the memory of Nellie.
Goodness me, there you are. You can see that there. You can come to St George's and have a look at some of the things we've been looking at yourselves, and it's a fascinating place to spend an hour or so catching up or just absorbing yourself in the history of Douglas. It's all there, and it's so easy to walk past, I suppose.
And there are so many stories here, definitely something that we will be returning to. And John, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
A lovely chap, an absolute fount of knowledge, as you discovered there. And if you hadn't seen his book, which I covered and had a chat with him on a spotlight about the pleasure domes and the pleasure places on the Isle of Man, check it out in your local bookshop, all about the entertainment industry. A wonderful book there. Just the next time we go and do something like that, can we do it on a better day?
Well, it wasn't actually raining in the morning that we had arranged to meet John, but God love him for still turning up. I mean,
he turned
it was torrential.
Up, didn't grumble once. No. He was soaked through by the end.
I know, he was. So thank you very much for that, John. But fascinating tour around there. We are definitely going to go back, because I do believe that there is a bit of a story regarding another grave in there of a certain Sir William Hillary. And
It's
the 200th anniversary this year of the formation of the RNLI, I think that'd be quite interesting. So if we can tempt John out again, we will do that.
Better look if we ask him on a sunny day.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah,
you're listening to Tamagindis on Manx Radio with Howard and Beth, and we've reached the point of the programme where Howard tries to wow us all with his conjuring skills. So I'm going to video this.
I wonder. So it's not going to work, isn't it? We just know it's not going to work, because it always goes wrong. So you video it. I'm going to swivel over and sort of speak through your mic and see how we go. Right, here we go.
Right, OK. So do you need me to move my mic here then? Right,
there we go. There we are. It's a bit better, isn't it? So here we are. Pack of cards, right? So I'm going to take about
it. I'll just start recording. Hang on.
Could be a long time, couldn't it? Right. Just talk amongst yourselves. Right, here we go. Ordinary pack of playing cards, right? And we're just going to, you can sort of shuffle up if you want or whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to work, isn't it? It's just not going to work. Okay, and then I'm going to take about a third of them off, something like that, okay? There we go. And, right. Now then, just name any card in the pack you like.
Two of hearts.
Two of hearts, right. So T-W-O-O-F-H-E-A-R-T-S. Okay, I'm going to do that again. TWOOFHEARTS. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll do it one more time. TWOOFHEARTS. Okay.
Okay.
Now then, try turning over that top card, and I think that top card's going to be the Nine of Spades.
So it is the Nine of Spades. Do you know what? I'd have been really impressed if it had been the Two of Hearts. Sorry.
So would I.
Right. Were you supposed to tell me that it was going to be the Nine of Spades first?
No. Well, you can do it whatever which way, but...
Did you look at that card and then just count them?
Well, how could I? I couldn't count them because I was doing your... I was only doing it out for you. You could have chosen any card, couldn't you?
Okay, that's reasonably impressive.
Yeah. It worked, which was more than I was expecting it to. I thought that was quite good. I mean, you can do it the other way around or you can sort of fiddle around with it. But, yeah, well, you see, I thought, all right, you know, I know Paul Daniels doesn't have much to worry about, mostly, to be fair, because he's dead. But I still thought that was all right.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
All right.
I could, well,
reasonably impressive.
She's not easy to impress, I tell you. I'm sure if I just sort of said, right, turn off that top card and underneath you'll find a Chip Bapp. You say, oh, Chip Bapp there. Oh, yeah. It's all right.
I just wondered, like, if it had been the Two of Hearts, that's what I was really hoping for. Sorry, I don't mean to to rain on your parade. But it was good. It did work. But where did the Nine of Spades come from? If I'd said Nine of Spades and it was the Nine of Spades, I'd have been like, wow. Anyway,
can't please some people, can you?
Sorry.
Right, okay. Do you want something from the vault?
Oh, yeah, go on. This is our archive room, which, as we always say, is a mine of information and nostalgia. So we go and have a quick sneaky peek in. It's all being digitised, incidentally, so a lot of this material is going to be available. Go and have a sneaky peek in. And see what we've got.
Well, I just dived in and there's all sorts of this. Tapes, there's reel-to-reels, there's phonograph, there's wax cylinders, there's clay tablets. I've gone for a CDR today. You remember those? Recordable CDs. No, before your time, wasn't it? Right, here we
Let's
go.
Let's pretend.
Here we go then. Let's see what's on this one.
Soldier of Man by Vinti Neil. Clean? You never seen such clean. Mind we needed a thought if you'd seen how we'd been. We was black and a half a full week's wear, but now we were shining and all of a glare. Scrubbed and rubbed and freed of all sin, godly cleansed and freed of all skin. Oh aye, that was it all right. You be cleaned of it all on Auntie's bath night. Come on, she'd say, in you get, and you stood there shaking all feared of the wet, and the bath in the middle all steaming and hot, filled from the washer and boiling pot. All full of soda and buttons and froth, and us, like the meat, would be thrown in the broth. And in you'd go and down in the deep, anti-bath childer like dipping sheep, dunked three times and up for a breath, and out of the end just before death, all slipping and sliding about on your feet, to land on the concrete upon your seat. And there she would grab us and dry us with flair, removing more skin and, I dare say, some hair. Oh, and fingerprints, we never had them, not till we growed up and all become men. Slipped into bed and all tucked in tight, scorched from the bath, we would glow in the night, through to the morning all fresh for the day, for adventure and fun and the devilment play, and getting all dirty with smithy smook, as out went the child and in come the rook. Set for my roost and free in our flight, we soared through our childhood and into the night. And out comes the bath, and in goes the boy. And out come the man, and with it, the joy.
The wonderful Vinti Neil. Words fail me, I'll leave it there. See you next week.
Take care.